Amen. I said chapter 4, but I want us to back up to one verse in chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 7 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, he says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." I'm going to go on. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You may be seated. I'm going to stop right there for the sake of time. Amen. And I'm going to bring to you a message that I felt like God had put on my heart. Amen. A few weeks ago. And as I began to ask the Lord to show us what to preach for this morning's service. And I'm going to be honest. I was scared absolutely to death. Amen. Let me just say this. Amen. Anytime you get behind the pulpit, amen, you need to make sure, amen, that, hey, we don't do it complacent. When I say that, now don't misunderstand me, amen. Some preachers tell me that they're more comfortable, amen, preaching, amen, at other churches than they are at their home church. Well, I'm the very opposite, amen. I'm more comfortable, amen, preaching to you. Amen. I'm more comfortable to preaching to you than I am at other churches. Can I get a witness there? But you'd only have to know that. You just have to be a preacher. But just as I was thinking about what God had had me to preach, amen, here in these verses of Scripture, amen, we find, if you'll go to chapter number 4, amen, he tells us in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Paul was telling those there, amen, that church, that you need to walk worthy of the call. I believe that can be applied to the men of God, amen, as we shared with them this morning. I want to just ask yourself a question, amen, tonight. Are we walking worthy, amen, of the call, amen, that God has called us into? He goes on to say, "With all lowliness and meekness," and he said, "in long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We could stop right there. And man, we could take each one of those things. Listen, friend, that is good counsel. Walking worthy in love and in unity. You know what? There should be no one in this congregation. Amen. Hey, I got bad feelings toward anybody else. There's nobody in this congregation. It says in the meekness, it says in lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. There should never be a harsh word said to one of God's people. One of God's children should never say a harsh word, amen, to another God's people. All God's people say it. Sure enough, he goes on down to say, "There's one body," verse number 4, "and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Did anybody get that? I was thinking about what the Lord would have us to do as we go down. I was thinking, by the way of introduction, I want to deal with one of the fears that I believe that maybe Paul had of this church, that he had for this New Testament church. There's one thing I believe that's in this book that Paul was afraid or a fear of happening. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said to this family that God had redeemed, he said to those that he had been called, that he had called out of darkness in the light, to those that the sovereign God that had imputed righteousness unto them. Amen. Here in chapter number 4, God wants this vibrant, thriving church to stay alive. He wanted it to stay, amen, alive. I tell you what, what my heart's desire is as a pastor. My heart's desire, amen, is for the church, amen, to never die, amen, to never, hey, to stay vibrant, amen, to stay, amen, fruitful. I mean, he wants it to continue to be fruitful. He wants it to continue to grow and stay excited after he's gone. And because of that, God's going to give the church, that church, a gift. You say, "Preacher, what is that gift?" All right, look at verse number 11. Here's the gift that God's going to give that church for that church to stay alive, for that church to stay vibrant, to stay fruitful.
Well, you say, preacher, what are they? The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You say, preacher, I don't understand where you're going. Hey, man, let me just say this. To be fruitful and to establish the saints and to evangelize their communities. He said, hey, I gave some of you, pastors and evangelists and all these things. But look here what he said. When I give you this gift, what it's going to do. In verse number 12, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. In other words, that the ministry of God will be fully furnished. He goes on to say, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, he said, to be given knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, hallelujah. In other words, it'll mature you. The gift that I give you will mature you. It'll cause knowledge. He goes on down there in verse number 13, it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. He's just saying, hey, this gift that I'm going to give you, hey, listen, it'll mature you. It'll keep you from being tossed to and fro. It'll keep you from the cunningness and the craftiness. And hey, there is people out there that are lying in wait to deceive you. The gift that I'm going to give you, it's going to perfect the saints. What has God ordained to keep the church alive, vibrant, and faithful? He ordained evangelists. He ordained pastors. He ordained teachers. Listen, what a great responsibility. What a fearful responsibility, amen, that's laid upon this pastor. What a great responsibility, amen, that's laid, amen, upon the teachers of Going Home Free Will Baptist Church. What a great responsibility, amen, that's laid upon the deacons of Going Home Free Will Baptist Church. You know what verse 11 has in common with all these callings? They are all preachers. Whoa, preachers, he said some were evangelists. Some were pastors, some were teachers. But in one sense, if you're a child of God, a born again Bible believing, amen, I'm talking about child of the King, you're a preacher. What I ain't saying, I don't nobody go off and say, oh, I'm a, that he believes in women preaching all that. That ain't what I said. Amen. Preaching means, amen, to expound. Amen. It means, amen, to herald. Amen. It means to deliver and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has only ordained one thing to keep the church alive. To evangelize the community, amen, to edify the body, to feed the church, and to keep people from being tossed to and fro. He only ordained one thing. And by the way, it ain't the singing quartets. I need help here. It ain't singing quartets, amen. It ain't contemporary music. It ain't, amen, the fog machine, the smoke machine. Hey, it's not the, boy, it ain't skits, it ain't shows, it ain't entertainment. It's not comedian, it ain't rapping the gospel. Hey, God gave the gift of preaching to keep the church alive. Hallelujah. It ain't how many spaghetti dinners you have, hot dog sales, car, amen. It ain't that. He chose one thing to keep the church alive, and that was the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I might get phone calls after I say what I'm going to say. I might get letters. Amen. But I'm going to say this, amen, just by the help of the Lord. Amen. I left, amen, one service this week, and I was really felt like I couldn't preach. I'll just be honest. Message or whatever just left. To be honest with you, just left me with a thought. Some other preachers that if I didn't preach like they preached. If I didn't expound the gospel like they, amen, preached the gospel, then I was really left, amen, with a thought, well, they ain't no use for me to even get up and to stand and preach. Let me just say this, I'm just me, Jessica. And let me tell you this, the Bible says in Isaiah 58:1, he said to lift up your voice. He said to spare not. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, I was even really rebuked, amen, because, well, some of them get up and scream and holler. Listen, I ain't screaming. I'm heralding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ordained evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen, today, and gave the preaching, amen, of the gospel to keep the church alive. If preaching doesn't keep a church alive, nothing will. Hey, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from this earth, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Man, we've got so much junk in our churches. Amen, offering our churches everything but preaching. Everything but preaching. Amen. Listen, we're living in dangerous days. When I say that, there's young men and women that's coming out of our colleges, our Christian colleges, and they're grabbing everything, amen, in the worldly society. They're pulling it in and trying to give it a churchy flavor, trying to excite the people, trying to feed the flesh, trying to build attendance. But I'm going to tell you something. God's house ought to be a house that's set apart. Amen, it's set apart. Let me tell you something. They got them coming out of our seminaries now. Amen. That, hey, they don't need to get out from behind the pulpit. They need to speak monotone. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. Hey, I ain't never been to a seminary. Hey, what's wrong? Listen, I told them this morning, right? Hey, just what's wrong? Amen. With men of God like my daddy's dad. Amen, Milton Duncan, amen. What's wrong? A drunk, amen, of the county. Amen, a sod. But God got a hold of his heart one day. God saved him. Amen, God called him to preach. Couldn't read his name. Had took a leatherback Bible, amen. Went out behind the house in the woods and started begging God to let him preach the word of God. And God gave him the ability to read. He didn't have he didn't have a commentary to go by. He didn't have the internet and all the sources there are there to go by. I need help. Amen. He might not have known much about homiletics. He might not have known that much about, amen, putting an outline together. But there's one thing I believe he knowed about. Amen. Hallelujah. He had a hotline, amen, to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Hey, and if old time fashion preaching was where, hey, if it's good enough for me and my daddy, it's good enough for today. Hallelujah. I believe Paul, you need to hear me well tonight. If preaching doesn't build the church, nothing. Now let me tell you something. We could build the church. I'm talking about this local body. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God. We can build this local body, Brother Keith. All you have to do is just start, amen, incorporating different things into what we call church, amen, and letting it have a little churchy flavor. The world coming in and, hey, the world, can I get an amen right there? Having a world, the church having a worldly flavor, that's what I meant to say. Amen. Hey, and have all these different things, amen, to attract everybody. Amen. They come in. Hey, they can go home on Sunday night or Sunday evening. They can go back to work on Monday morning. Amen. They can raise their hand and say, I went to the house of God. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in the house of God. You hear me? There's difference, amen, in the house of God. How many know you're a Christian this evening? You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you something. Paul was saying the gift that God has given you to keep this church alive, keep this thing going after I'm gone, is the gift of old-time Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled preaching. We're living in days of powerless preaching. Listen, let me tell you something. They are grammatically correct. They can take the homiletic issue. They can break down that outline, and that's okay. But I believe the problem is the breath of God is nowhere around it. I need help. Boy, there's a lot I could say. I believe every man that God's called to preach, I believe he puts the power of God on them. You can't convince me that God calls a man, amen, and doesn't equip them to fulfill the calling that God has allowed them to be in, amen. Example of these old time preachers, man, not just my grandpa, amen, but I know another man of God. First revivals ever preached at Going Home Free Old Baptist Church was by a man named Billy Guy. Billy Guy, amen, pastored a church and preached about 40-something revivals a year. Amen, I'll never forget the story how, I listened to him preach many, many times, sister. Amen, you know what? He'd get up, he'd open up his Bible, didn't know he couldn't read a lick. Couldn't read a lick. You say, well, how did he preach? His wife would read him the Bible, and wherever God would lead him to preach, he'd memorize the whole, if it was a whole chapter or whatever, he'd memorize it all. And you wouldn't know he wasn't reading out of the Bible. He'd get up, and you talk about one powerful preacher, one powerful man of God. And then he said one day as a sitting at the house by himself, he said John had went out to the grocery store and said, I just got on the couch and he said, he just got down praying and begging God to let him learn how to read the Word of God. He said, the Lord, I opened up my Bible and it turned over there to John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He said, I started there and he said, I read the whole chapter. Let me believe that's God. I don't believe God's ever called a man of God. Amen. And listen, this morning, one of my key things was before I started preaching was how many men in here, amen, it was called by God. Let me tell you something. There's a difference being called by God. And I don't believe God has ever, amen, called a man of God to preach. A man to preach and him not equip him to preach the gospel. Where'd you go to school, preacher? Let me tell you something. I might not have degrees hanging on my wall. I may not, amen, have all the education. I might not even be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But there's one thing I know. I don't feel like I can preach, but I know this. I know God called me, amen, Sister Kathy, and I know he's furnished me, hallelujah, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants his men to preach in power. You talk about the unction of the Holy Ghost, and you talk about being filled with the Spirit, and these young preachers are coming up on the scene, and some preachers now look at you like they're crazy, and you don't know what they don't know what you're talking about. Start talking about the unction of the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many preachers that are standing in the pulpits of North Carolina today that really knows what unction of the Spirit is. That really knows the power and the Spirit of God in their life. I wonder if God, I believe in study. I fail. Do you fail? Amen. I believe in reading the Bible. I fail. Do you fail? Sure, we all do. And one day, it's a fearful thing, but I'll give an account, amen, when I stand before God, how I've handled the Word of God. One day you'll stand before God and you'll give an account how you handled the Word of God. Well, I don't know. You just pray for me, amen. I'll say I'm sick of formalism. I'm sick of this dead mess, wishing the service would end. How many there been services you thought you wished it end? I pray, listen, I probably even said, we all even not think that way. Amen. But let me tell you something. These old sick, dead, formal churches, amen, that's such a dead mess. I've said in one recently that I thought I wish they'd hurry. I hate to say that, but I've even thought it about the man that was up. Amen. I was thinking, man, I just go on and let's leave. Can I get a witness? I'm just being human. Amen. I know the presence of God. I know the power of God. And I'm going to say this, hallelujah. It takes the breath of God from another world. It takes the journey and the filling of the Holy Ghost to take a vessel of clay, turn it inside out, and overflow him with the power of God. That's what keeps the church alive. If I got up here every service and I was just monotone and I didn't leave this spot, and listen to me. I don't know why you... Now listen, it ain't all in emotion. I'm not saying you have to... And by the way, if something just gets up for the emotion, I preach the way God preaches me. And if people get up here just for the emotion, they're here for the wrong thing. Amen. But I guarantee you, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln said, he said, you ought to preach like there's a swarm of bees up your britches layer or something like that. Like you're fighting a swarm of bees. You run into, if I was standing up here tonight, amen, and I bumped this pulpit, boom. And there was a hornet's nest under there, and the hornets started coming up, started flying up my legs. I wouldn't stand here. I mean, man, I'd start fighting them things, and I'd start, hey, aren't you glad that you got a president of the United States say, hey, we need preaching, amen, men of God that are preached like they're fighting a swarm of bees? Not just to put a show on, but because they're seasoned and the power of God is upon them to preach. How many like to hear, amen, Brother Scott Campbell preach? How many like to watch him preach? I like to watch him preach. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, I'm getting, well, Lord help me. I guess if I was a little skinnier, I could do a little better. Hallelujah. But when he preached, what a sermon he brought. Unshackled in the house of God. What a sermon. And by the way, I ain't a sitting in a church that's not alive. Hey, what gets me, people said, oh, I like that kind of preaching. I like it. They'll say, I like that kind of preaching. And they'll go right back to the same old mess they come out of. And you say, well, Paul's buried out there in the cemetery. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go, amen, dig Paul up and take him with you. Whoa! You say, why you do that, preacher? Because if Paul could, he'd get up himself. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. I've heard I believe some of the old men of God and old saints of God that, amen, it's already dying, going on, had to be of the Lord. I've heard my dad say, hey, man, and just in conversation, well, if my dad knew that, why, he'd turn over in his grave. Oh, don't you think, hey, man, you say, oh, you ought not have said that. Let me tell you something. There's people digging them up and moving them. Amen. Well, Paul's buried there. Grandma's buried there. Well, and the sickest thing I've ever got back to me is, well, I've got too much invested. I got too much invested. I told him this morning, I said, I'd like for going home to challenge me and the deacon board. Amen. When they want to leave, to come and ask us to give them all their tithes back to take with them to the church. I don't know about you fellas, but they ain't getting it. And you know why they ain't getting it? Because it ain't theirs. All God people said, got too much invested to leave. Bless God, let me tell you something, it wasn't your money to begin with. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've got too much of my time or too much of it invested. Let me tell you something. I ain't going to somewhere that's dried up, dead, that I can't feel the presence of God. I'm just on the introduction. You're going to have to pray for me. Praise the Lord. And listen. Here's what the thought the Lord's giving me tonight. I'll get to it in a minute. Life's too short and God's too good to sit where the power of God ain't. The only hope we have to be edified, not to be too tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, to be a mature Christ, amen, have the knowledge in Christ, is to get under spirit-filled preaching. I'm talking about old-time preaching. Now, here's what Paul feared, and I'll give it to you right quickly. What did he fear? Look at verse number 17. Look here what he told the Gentiles, or told them. He said, "This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." You know what vanity is? I'll tell you. I wrote it down somewhere. Where did I write that down at? It's an excessive pride admiration of one's own appearance or achievement. There's some people that thinks they're God's gift. There's some pastors that get behind pulpits. There's some preachers that stands up and they think that there's God's gift to that congregation. You know what that is? Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what it is. I believe it's in verse number 17. In the vanity of their mind. Listen to what he said. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. And because of the blindness of their heart. He said, hey, don't be like these other Gentiles are. But here's where I believe, amen, Paul's trying to give them not just that warning, but here's the warning I felt like God impressed upon me. Look at verse number 19. Who be in pious feeling? Who be in pious feeling? I believe that's where a lot of our churches are at in the day and hour we live in. You listen to this preacher. Past feeling, once suggested to be past feeling means to lose connection with the divine influence that keeps you moving in the right direction. Here's what God gave me to pray. I don't want to become numb to the things of God. I don't want to become past feeling that I've become numb to the things of God. Let me tell you something. Numb, amen, is something it's lacking or deficient in emotion or feeling. Indifferent, incapable of action or of feeling, emotion. Brother Keith, amen, I've told you before, if you see me back there on that back pew or you see me back there while you're teaching and you see me looking at, I'm preparing. Hey, man, I told him that this morning, I'm preparing, but I'll hear more than you think I hear. But I'll sit back there with my legs crossed, and I'll be trying to, hey, man, go over what God's wanting me to preach in the morning service. And, man, it'll be over, and I'll cross my leg, and I'll get up, and it's like I ain't got a leg. How many's leg ever went to sleep? Foot ever, I'm talking about went to sleep. Did you get up, and you're walking, and you almost fall. Amen. You know why? Because they ain't no feeling there. I mean, it's lack, amen, of feeling in that land. I believe that's where our churches have come. What do you mean, preacher? Amen. Here's what I mean. Amen. Hey, I know it's not all in emotion, but I thank God that there's feeling, and I believe there's emotion in serving and living for the Lord. Amen. Something as big, you don't have to act like me. I told them this morning, they don't have to run around, hoop and holler like I holler. That's the way God does me. And I'm here, and I'm sitting here saying to you, you don't have to act like me, but glory to God. I believe some of our churches and some of our people, amen, are sitting there, amen, and they're pious feeling. You ever, how many felt the presence of the Lord a while ago? Well, hallelujah. I'm going to ask you again. How many felt the presence of the Lord a while ago? Amen. Amen. What gets me is some people see it. Amen. They won't even raise their hand and say amen. You say, I don't feel led. You don't have to. You don't have to feel led. Hey, well, I'll just go and say this. I don't feel led to shout. You don't have to feel led to shout. But you need to get on board right there. You don't have to feel led to shout. Amen. The Bible said you ought to be able to rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. But I believe there's some things that we're becoming numb to. Simple thought. And I believe we need to take warning. And Paul was trying to warn us. I believe that there's, amen, many becoming numb, first of all, to the scripture and to the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. That don't excite us like it used to. Amen. You know why that is? We're past feeling. The blood ought to excite us. You know why it don't excite us like it used to? We're past feeling. We're becoming numb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That ought to excite us. There could somebody come and walk down that aisle and get born again, and we sit there. I'm guilty. I'm excited when that happens. But I ain't as excited as I need to be. You know what that is? It's past feeling. We're becoming numb. And by the way, God will allow you to sit in the house of God and die. God will allow you to sit in the house of God and become numb. Hey, church, I don't want to become numb to the things of God. Number two, I believe we're becoming numb into the moving of the Spirit. I thank God that there's moving of the Spirit in going home for your Baptist church. Thank God for that, amen, and in our churches. And then we wonder why sometimes, amen, we don't see the moving of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what the problem is, and I told them this morning, it's what's standing right here. Ever how much fire is here is how much fire is going to be out there. Did you hear me? Let me tell you, if there's something here, it'll generate to out there. How many's ever felt the fire out there, amen, because the fire was back here? Sure. Hallelujah. Hey, but listen, I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Hey, is there any shouting going on anymore? I'm glad everybody. Boy, I bless you, brother. I'm not trying to point you out tonight, but you bless my heart. Glory, hallelujah. God knows what we needed to be preaching out too. Hey, any shouting going on in our services anymore? Preacher, I did this again. I don't feel led. You don't have to feel led. Just be yielded to the Spirit of God and come into the Lord's house, amen, worshiping him in spirit. Hey, he says, amen, that he inhabits the praise of his people. Just for a little bit while ago, if you would have just wouldn't, it may be if somebody hadn't have quenched the Spirit, it would have got right. Did you hear me? It could have got right. Now, I ain't saying that anybody quenched it, but I wonder if somebody did. Huh? I don't know your heart, amen, but let me just say this. If you're sitting there and you quenched it, you're the reason it didn't go no further. You could be the very one and it didn't go no further. And I don't want to be guilty. You know what that is? That's becoming past feeling. Actually, you felt something. But then you allowed that feeling to pass you by. Can I get a witness there? Hey, church, I don't want to get to the place, amen. Hey, that when that feeling comes, I'm talking about the moving of the Holy Spirit. Hey, if it stopped right here in my pew, in my seat, I don't want it to leave and pass on by. Amen. I want to be sensitive to that Spirit. Man, ain't no telling what could have happened a few minutes ago. Maybe that's all the Lord wanted. I'm not saying that anybody quenched it. That's between you and God. Maybe that's all God wanted. I guarantee you the lame man that sat beside the pool of Bethesda, you remember him? Amen. The Bible says, amen, he laid there for 38 years, the Bible says. And by the way, he knew when the moving of the water. He knew when the angel of the Lord came by and stirred the waters. He was there. He knew when the moving was. He knew when the stirring was. But the Bible says, amen, but before he could get down to the pool, he said there's other people, amen, stepping up, getting in before he was. And the Bible says that, hey, when the Lord come and asked him, he said there was no man there to help him in. Everybody with me? You know what we need to be doing as teachers of this, hey, this congregation, as deacons of this congregation, the pastor of this congregation, any leader, amen, of this congregation, you know what we need to be doing? We need to be trying to help people in and, hey, helping them, because, hey, not to become numb to the things of God. It's my duty. Why do you think God's given this sermon? Somebody said, you ought to preach that on Sunday morning. Well, let's wait to Sunday morning and see what the Lord's got. Thirdly, we become numb to the presence of the Spirit. I believe some people really don't know God's presence. Do you know the presence of the Lord? I know when God walks by my way. I know the presence. Do you not think the three Hebrew children knew the presence of that fourth man? Let me tell you something. They didn't know he was going to be in there. Had no idea. All they know is they stood and they wouldn't worship and they didn't bow. They didn't burn. They didn't bend, bow, nor did they burn. And you know why? It's because they stood on the promises of God. And when they got in that old fiery furnace, hallelujah. Hey, God made himself real and present. Thank you, Lord. Hey, they knew the presence of God. How about old Daniel in the lions den? Do you not know that he felt the presence of God? That lame man that laid at the gate, you remember, amen, in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John came by? He was sitting there begging alms. Amen, glory to God. And one of them fastened their eyes upon him. He said, look on me. Peter John once said, look on me. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. You know what happened? I'm glad Peter and John wasn't past feeling. I'm glad Peter and John wasn't numb to the things of God and the Spirit of God and the presence of God. When he said, hey, amen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What happened to that lame man? Leaping, the Bible says. Let me tell you something, friend. Hey, he knew the presence of God in his life. Next time the Holy Ghost moves you, don't quench it. Be sensitive to his Spirit. Then I believe we're becoming numb to the power of the Spirit. I know the power, and I know the authority, and I know the influence of the Spirit of God, the power of God. You know, old Frank Woods last night preached twice this week, and preached last night. Listen, and he preached on David, amen, brought over in his sermon, amen, how that David slew the lion and David slew the bear. Do you not know that, hey, he knew the power of God in his life? No, he may not have physically fought a lion and killed a lion and physically fought a bear, killed a bear. I've never physically fought a giant, a physical giant, and killed a giant. But they've been some lions and they've been some bears and they've been some giants in my life that God's gave me power over. Can you shout at that? I don't want to get past feeling. I don't want to get numb, amen, to the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Angie, would you come to the piano? I don't want to get numb to the glory of God. The glory of God is praise and honor and thanksgiving. I thank God for the beauty and splendor of God. People are becoming numb to the things of God. I want us to stand on their feet. Let's don't let our church die. Now you said, but preacher, we've been having some good spirit. And listen, I don't know why. I'm just giving you some good advice tonight. Don't sit there dried up on God. Don't sit there and come. I believe we need to get on this altar tonight and we need to say, God, I want to be sensitive to you when you come by. I want to know that it's you. I want to know that it's your power. I want to know that it's your presence. I want to know that the gospel and the scripture in my life, hey amen, I don't want to become numb to those things. I don't want to become past feeling of those things. But when you move in my life, I want to be sensitive. God, help me not to become numb to those things. Altar's open.